May God bless our meditation on His Word for us as we continue to seek to follow Him in faith during this summer season and always. Flooding can be devastating, and the pictures that often go with it tell the story well, like this one from Germany in 2021, or this image from South Africa in 2022, or this one from Brazil just last year. For most of us, it's probably hard to see such images, let alone to imagine living through something like this ourselves. Well, today's Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 9, it deals with flooding too, because it gives us the account of the days following the worldwide flood that covered the entire earth. Finally, after 150 days of continuous rain pouring down from above and continuous springs spouting up from below, the water finally stopped. The flood finally crested 15 cubits, or about 22 and a half feet, above the world's tallest mountains. But even though the flood water stopped rising, the sheer amount of water and the damage it caused didn't disappear right away. You know, at home, when our kids take a bath, they like to stay in the tub until all the water gets drained out. Well, because of that, Brianna and I have to remember to pull the plug well before it's time for them to get out, or we end up with two kids that look very pruney. You know, if even a household bathtub takes a while to drain, can you imagine the process for the entire earth? According to Scripture, 5 months after it had first begun to pour, the ark came to rest in the mountains of Ararat. 7 months after the first precipitation fell, the tops of the mountains could finally be seen again. Nearly 11 months after the first drop came down, water no longer covered the earth. And 1 year and 11 days after the water first burst forth, Noah looked out of the ark and saw that the ground was dry enough to occupy once again. And that's when God called Noah and his family to come out of the ark and to bring with them every living creature that they had taken along. So let me ask you then, what do you imagine that Noah and family would have seen when they finally came off the ark? If you have read the story of Noah in a kid's story Bible before, your mind probably remembers the pictures that are so often depicted there. Scenes like this, or scenes like this, or scenes like this. Do you think these vibrant and colorful images are really what Noah and his family saw? Or do you think the landscape Noah and his family saw as they came off the ark was more like a devastated wasteland? If once in 100 years floods can leave images like this, then what could a once in the history of ever flood produce? If a localized flood can produce an image like this, then what could a flood that covered the entire earth bring about? Desolation, devastation, destruction, unlike any the world has ever seen or ever will see again. And we know that because God promises to Noah and his family exactly that. We heard it in our Old Testament reading, didn't we? Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast of the earth I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." Stepping off the ark with truly nothing else left to hold on to, God gives Noah and his family something they can: his covenantal promise. You know, we've talked before about the nature of covenants in the Bible. They were promises that God made to his people, but they often turned out to be rather one-sided covenants. I say that because they weren't dependent on God's people keeping up their side of the bargain. Whether God's people did what they should or not, God still would always be faithful to what he had promised. So notice what this covenant means then. Is God saying, "See, Noah, what just happened? Let that be a lesson to you. You better watch your step from here on out. You better watch your back, for if you don't, you know what I can do." No, that's not what God was saying at all. Instead, he lovingly is offering Noah and his family a covenant, a promise of grace. And God, in his love, would give Noah and all his people to come a sign and a reminder of this promise as well. God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." So what does God do? He puts a rainbow in the sky. Science textbooks might explain a rainbow as simply what happens when sunlight shines through water vapor. Sociology textbooks might explain it as a symbol of support for people making their own rules or living by what feels right to them. But what does the Bible tell us? It tells us that the rainbow is a sign of God's covenantal grace. For the rainbow was and is a reminder that God will never destroy the world again by flood. And if it wasn't for the rainbow, can you imagine what Noah and his family would have thought every time they saw a storm cloud? A light drizzle would bring on panic attacks. A steady stream would bring on a nervous breakdown. A torrential downpour would leave them scared to death. Except it didn't. Because God gave them a visible sign of his promise. And God gave them faith to believe that he would keep his promise to them. And God always does just that. Even when Noah and his family were locked up tightly in the ark, even then, God was at work keeping his promise that he made to Noah in Genesis 6 to keep Noah and his whole family secure in the ark. And at the same time, God was also keeping the promise that he made in the presence of Adam and Eve, too. The one where he promised in the wake of their fall into sin that a Savior would one day come from their descendants to save them of their sin. And in Matthew's gospel, we learned that descendant's name, She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. If God hadn't saved Noah and his family, God wouldn't have kept his promise to Adam and Eve, but he did. And God keeps the promises he makes to you, too, like the promise of your baptism that unites you to Christ, that makes you God's child, that gives you life and salvation, just as the words and the promises of God declares. Yes, God always keeps his promises to his people in Christ Jesus, even when every single thing we hold on to gives away. A few moments ago, we sang together the hymn, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less." Did you notice the words that we sang together in verse 3? It went like this: "His oath, his covenant and blood support me in the raging flood, when every earthly prop gives way. He then is all my hope and stay." When every earthly prop gave way, when Noah and his family walked out of the ark, not into a vibrant children's storybook page, but into a gray canvas of death, what did they have to dry their tears? What did they have to calm their fears? What did they have to give them hope for the future? Nothing, except for God's promise. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I would suggest to you this morning that you and I often find ourselves in similar situations in life. Now, thanks be to God, we don't have to deal with a worldwide flood. But sometimes we still face devastation. Sometimes all the things that we turn to for comfort and support have seemingly disappeared. Our friends, our possessions, our bank account balance. Sometimes it's not tangible things that we lose, but important things nonetheless. Things like our reputation, our good name, or our clean conscience. And even our own human abilities, well, they can be lost just like that. Whether it's our ability to walk, to talk, or to remember those we walk and talk with. And because all of that is true, let me ask you, when every earthly prop gives way, what is it that you have to cling to? May I suggest it's only God's promise to you in Christ Jesus. And yet the beautiful irony of Noah's story and ours is that God's promise to you through your baptism into Christ is enough. For even if that's all that you have what you need most. One of my favorite professors at the seminary in St. Louis regularly liked to go around the room and quiz his students about the material we had been studying, and no one ever wanted to be unable to give an answer, so we always came up with something. And sometimes the things we came up with showed that we had been paying attention, and sometimes it showed that we had not. I remember what my professor would say, though, when someone in the class got the answer wrong or when it was clear that they didn't have a clue. He'd look at you. He'd look right at you and smile. And for a moment, it made me think that I had somehow guessed right this time. But then he would say, "Andrew, remember that you are baptized. Wait, what? What did that mean? It meant I clearly did not remember the lesson, but that I still had reason to rejoice because of what Jesus had done for me. In a greater way, can't we do the same in our life here on earth? Our friends or family desert us, and yet when we remember our baptism, we can rest assured that our God never will. Our possessions and finances disappear, and yet when we remember our baptism, we can rest assured that the things of faith that God has given us are eternally secure in Him. Our reputation gets tarnished by our own sin or by the sin of others, and yet when we remember our baptism, we can rest assured that in Christ Jesus, our identity is that of a beloved child of God. And even when every earthly prop gives way, when we remember our baptism, we can rest assured that we are held up and that we are held fast in the arms of Christ. And for the Christian, that is true, even when our life here on earth comes to its end. When others gather here for your funeral service someday, what is one of the very first things they will do as part of that service? They will remember your baptism through the words of Romans 6, and they will rest assured that being baptized into Christ's death, your dead body will certainly be united with Christ in His resurrection too. Thanks be to God that even when every earthly prop gives way, that God's promises to us in Christ Jesus are certain and sure, for Jesus is our hope and stay. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in our mind's eye, we probably hear the story of Noah and his family getting off the ark, and we maybe think of the sun shining and the grass growing and the birds singing, and possibly even zippity-doo-dah playing faintly in the background. But the scene was probably much different, much bleaker, much darker. Noah and his family didn't walk off the ark and back to the life they knew, but they walked off the ark to something completely and terribly new. Devastation was everywhere, and every earthly prop had given way. And yet Noah and his family still had what they needed most. They had God's promise. And because they did, they had hope. And in Christ Jesus, and through your baptism into Him, you do too, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name and for His sake we pray. Amen.